Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
You know, there's more anointing in the middle, right? You guys like sitting on the sides, but just next time, I want to encourage you, as long as you're not in front of the camera, because our online audience wouldn't be happy with you, but we put a little drape there. But I want to encourage you guys, like, otherwise I have to be preaching like this, and then you guys feel offended that I'm turning my back at you, and then they are offended, and everybody's offended. But it's good. Jesus came to offend some people, too. Anyways, guys, I am excited to be here this morning. It's been a while since I got the opportunity. It's always a blessing. It's always a privilege. It's always an honor for me to step foot on this stage. I want to thank our leaders for this privilege. I want to acknowledge, like Matt said, Pastor Michelle said, what happened last week. If you missed last Sunday, go online. You can check on YouTube. We're always a week behind our online experiences. So today we're streaming at 10:30 on YouTube the message from last week. Pastor Sean shared his personal testimony of what happened in a healing journey. I won't spoil if you weren't not here last week, but please go to YouTube and watch. And we also witnessed, like Sarah was saying, so many testimonies. So many testimonies. Like he was, even like outside, not only in this place, Pastor Sean was praying for someone in the lobby who was deaf of 1 year, and the ear popped and the person started hearing again. We had Tyler here who couldn't, the doctors told him, your case, he had a shoulder issue, it's either surgery or learn to live with it. But the heavens have a different word. Now he can lift his hands, he can worship free, and he received healing. And this is for everybody in this place. So we want to thank God for what he did and believe that our gratitude will open doors for more miracles that are coming our way. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited. Preaching differently. It's been a kind of copying Pastor Sean preaching from an iPad. This is the first time. Usually have my computer here. But not going to lie, yesterday my heart almost stopped for two. Jean, don't be mad. He's not here. I was in my living room and I went to grab an espresso. And I accidentally dropped my laptop. And the screen crashed. I can still see half. I could work with half of it. But how many are thankful that God has a redeeming plan, and it's called Apple Care Plus, that will take care of it. I have an appointment at 1:15, so I have to leave here to go to Apple Store, fix my screen so I can continue to work and share the gospel. No, just kidding. But anyways, I'm excited to be here sharing from an iPad. Hope the screen doesn't turn off on me many times. I didn't play with the settings. My son is usually playing his dinosaur games here on my iPad. So today, anyways, I'm super, super excited. We just came out of a four-week series called He's in the Room. And how many of you were here for part of the series or the full series? Amen. Always here. Yes, I do see you guys always here. I really felt the presence of God, and I think this is a word for this house in this series. So the series has been concluded. I won't speak on it, but of course, God has speaking to me throughout this series. And I was praying for this morning, and I want to share about something that, do not disturb, that God has speaking to me, that every Christian, every single one of you, if you gave your life to Jesus, I would say even for those of you that are not walking with Jesus yet, everyone goes through this. And it's the biggest school of our faith. And I'm talking about what? I'm talking about desert seasons. Desert seasons are the best school for your faith. And the desert marks the journey of every Christian in this place. I can guarantee 100% all of you experience at least one, I know many more probably, desert moment in your life. Hard situation. Situation that you felt like it was going to crush you. You felt that you had no hope. That you had nothing, no resources, not a way out. That it was endless, long, tiring journey in your life. But I want to speak to the power that those seasons have in our lives. Not only are they the best school of our faith, but they are also meant many times to take out us out of our comfort zone. That I don't like calling comfort zone, because I believe comfort zone is actually danger zone. When you have resources and you're too comfortable, you're not using what you received, it's dangerous. Pastor Sean, I think last time he was in Brazil, he was sharing a word, receive and give. If you're here just on a Sunday, just receiving, and all you do in your life is receive, you're going to become a fat sheep. Useless. You received healing? Man, you have an amazing tool. Pray for others. God will use you. God will use your life. So he wants to take us out of a comfort zone, a danger zone. And let me tell you, because something that I learned through faith is that the safest place to be is always taking risks with God. Noah took a risk, building an ark. Daniel in Babylon, Joseph in Egypt, taking risks with God. It's better than being in a comfortable place. Why? Adam fell in paradise. Jesus won in the desert. So I know your environment is super powerful. It is amazing to be surrounded with people that are walking with you. But many times it has nothing to do with the environment. It has to do with what the condition of your hearts and what God is doing in those seasons. And I want to begin by reading a verse that says in Matthew 4:1, that says, then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. I love this. You say, oh man, look at life. Look at what it did. Many times, who's leading you to desert seasons? It's Holy Spirit. And if you look a few verses before, this is the start of chapter 4. Jesus just came out of an amazing experience with God at his baptism, where Holy Spirit came in a dove, and it was like a powerful, it was probably the first public manifestation of Jesus as the Messiah. So a powerful, he came from a powerful experience, then to go into a 40-day journey into the deserts. We cannot get too comfortable with what happened last week. Our spirits need to be aware, God, what are you doing in our nation? How can I put into works what I receive here every week? Because the reality is that you will forget the messages, but you will not forget the encounters that you have with God. You probably forgot part one of the In the Room series here. If I ask you guys to quote a few, probably you don't remember. Eve does probably remember, because he always sends to the prayer team every week a summary of what happened, because he's always taking notes. He's not in social media on his phone while I'm preaching the message, or too comfortable falling asleep in your seats. So take notes. Don't pull your phone and get distracted with Twitter. Not even Twitter anymore, but anyways, Instagram, whatever. Don't get distracted. But we just came out of this. He is in the room. But I also want to share today, and the title for my message is, He is in the deserts. And I believe there's so much power when you find him in desert seasons in your life. I'm trying hard here because I come from Brazil. The word desert and dessert, I love dessert. It's so good. But they mess up the way that we pronounce some words and like keep trying to say dessert. And dessert is also a God-given thing. But anyways, like in Brazil, it's totally different words. The dessert is sobremesa, so it has nothing to do. And the desert is deserto, which is very similar. Anyways, side notes. He is in the desert. And I want to share with you today and track with me. I'm going to go as fast as I can because I have to be at Apple. No, just kidding. But I have five points and five truths and powers that you can find in the deserts. So number one is the desert is a place of preparation. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 31 says, "And you saw how the Lord your God cared for you all along the way as you traveled through the wilderness, just as a father cares for his child. Now he has brought you to this place." Looking back at my journey with God, I know the reason why I'm here today. It's because God led me through some desert seasons. Those desert seasons prepared. In fact, I shared a word probably, I don't know, I think it was before the pandemic, about my journey that led me to Canada, to this house. I won't get into too many details, otherwise it would like really take the whole message. But honestly, seasons that I felt, man, what am I doing with my life? Why my life is not moving on? We're all part of God's preparations for me to be here. And I love that one of the things that it says on this verse is that those wilderness seasons are just as a father cares for his child. That's the care of the father, and that's the love of the father that you find in this preparation. Because you know what? Why does he compare to a father? Because God will many times take you through desert seasons, and he's so kind to you that instead of exposing you in public the areas that you need to work on, your character, he takes you in private. Say, hey, come with me. Have a little walk. I'll take you through a season. If you learn, you don't have to go back. But I'll lead you in this season. I'll walk with you. Instead of exposing your problems, we all got problems, amen? Instead of exposing them in public, God takes you to a private place to deal with you, with your character, with your hearts, with your mind, with your soul. And that's why we need, because if you are a parent in this room, you know how much discipline is important into raising your children. And that's how God loves and cares for you, because he will take you into those seasons. And as I was saying, my journey to this place was marked by this. What led me to Canada came out of a season that I was obeying a word from God. My parents got divorced when I was really young. I'm going to try to summarize it in probably 5 minutes, this journey. My parents got divorced when I was 3 years old. My mom went from a hard season. I was born in a Christian home. Both of my great-grandparents were pastors, grew up coming to church, but my parents were not doing well. After the divorce, my mom started smoking, 2 packs of cigarette a day. My dad went to live in the States. Anyways, growing up, this is kind of my journey. I would go only to church whenever I would go at my grandma's house. And one day, God reached like my mom. She got invited into a conference that the church that I was going to, and the church that she was going to, or she got invited to in Brazil. And she had a supernatural experience, a healing experience, that after that conference, she never put a cigarette in her mouth again. Right away, and she used to smoke 2 packs a day. And then the Lord brought me to back to him at 13 years old. I gave my life to Jesus, got baptized, and my life completely changed. She got married to another man before this experience that wasn't a Christian, and we prayed for his salvation, and we saw his salvation. And he had opened a business in the 1980s in Brazil, and Jesus once spoke to him, "If you give me your hearts, I'll prosper your business." And this is what happened. He gave his heart to Jesus and his business took off. You know Belkin, the accessories company here from California or whatever? They tried to buy his company because of how well it was doing for computer accessories company. But also later down the road too, like he felt many times that he was supposed to sell because he had partnership with non-Christians. Never found a way out. And one day I got a prophetic word that just as Jesus worked for his stepfather, Joseph, I would work with him. And it happened that I started working with him, and what happened? Mess. It was like already too bad. The company, a big crisis hit Brazil, and the company went under. But just before, as soon as I started working with him, the company wasn't doing well, so they hired this consulting company that pretty much like let go half of the staff of the company, sent me to China to rework all the products, so I was sent alone to live two and a half months in the midst of nowhere, like an hour away from a big city called Shenzhen that is like an hour from Hong Kong. Nobody spoke English at that city. Nobody. And even at the hotel that I was staying for the first 3 nights, and I told the guys, hey, this is not going to work because even front desk didn't speak English. So it was tough. Like I found myself, English already wasn't my first language, but I'm in the midst of nowhere, nobody understands me. And I kept questioning God, why am I here? Why me, God? And sometimes we don't understand. I felt like the first 2-3 days, man, I was like lonely, crying. And plus, it was even worse. There weren't too many VPNs around. Like I couldn't access like Skype, Facebook, whatever back then. There was like pretty much almost no contact with my family back home. Like there was like email, that's all it was. So I was able to find another hotel that had access to some of these so I can keep in touch with my family. But it was a hard season. And after day 3, I felt like the presence of Jesus walking to my hotel room, and I felt like this is going to be an awesome time that God has set for me. Came back to my dad's company, worked with him for a season. What happened was things were not working out. During the midst of this, I met Juliana, and I started dating her in one of my brokest stages. I didn't have money barely to take her out to eat. I had bought in faith 2 years ago, like 2 years before, an apartment that was being built. I moved in barely doing anything to the apartment, put a bed, put a couch, and that was it. And it was like a hard season, but I felt to God to take some steps of faith. And I felt like, because I studied in the States, in Brazil it's not common to give like the diamond as like an engagement ring, but I said to God from day first, like I want to do that to my wife one day. So I called a friend in the States, hey, can I use your credit? I'll pay you back 10 installments, 12 installments. I'll pay you every month. In faith, I didn't have the money. As soon as I bought the engagement ring, someone found me on LinkedIn without me even searching. Hey, are you looking for a job? My first response was no. Then I felt Holy Spirit nudge me, ask them, what is the job for? And she said, I cannot disclose what the job is, but I can tell you what's the payment, well, what's your salary going to be? She said, it's in the 6 figures. I was like 27, 28 years old. To get a 6 figures earning job, that's a good start, right? It was a big jump for me. I said, okay, I'll participate on this interview process. And do you know the one thing that made them hire me for this job? My experience in China. So God doesn't waste anything in your journey. Any moments. That was preparing me all along. The only reason is that they were trying to find someone that had experience with visiting suppliers in China, and they couldn't find anybody. And it landed on me without me doing anything. And I thought, okay, amazing. Okay, we're getting married. We booked the wedding dates 10 months from after we got engaged. Wait, there was a plan in place. We found the venue, and that was the available date. And we felt God was the venue. And the only date that they had was March 2016. But 2 months into my job, Juliana's dad loses her job, and he was almost like a CFO at Mattel, the Barbie company in Brazil. He had been there for 20 years. He loses his job. 3 months later, I'm ready to launch. I got seated with the president of this company that hired me. The guy was on the Fortune 100 or 500 in Brazil. 20,000 employees. The company is bigger than Dell and HP in Brazil. I had access to the president, and we designed and developed a project together. He signed the purchase orders. I was ready to take a plane back to China to go buy the products that we said for the company. Get a call on my way. My wife was coming to pick me up. Well, it wasn't my wife then, but she was coming to pick me up and to take me to the airport. Get a call. Don't go. We need to talk. Next day, my director flew into São Paulo. What happens? I got laid off with another 7,000 employees, 5 to 7,000 employees. Lose my job 5 months prior to my wedding dates. Juliana's dad loses his job. They were saying, should we postpone? I said, absolutely not. God has a way. Started emailing all the suppliers I could. Hey, I need to find a job. First thing I'm skipping out of this story is that when I started dating Juliana is that we both said, and I told her from the get-go, like I said, are you open to living abroad outside of Brazil? Because I believe that God has a call for my life, for the nation. So I need you to know. I need to know if that's something you consider, or because I've seen marriages break apart. Division comes from divorce comes from divisions. Two different visions for life. Anyways, she said yes, I'm open. So I felt God nudge me. It's time to search outside. Found a supplier. Well, sent emails to many of them. One guy got back to me, called me back. He was saying, hey, I have an opportunity for you. Call me back. My phone number was 72, and then the line breaks, and I can't hear the rest of his number. Skipping a little bit, I could only find the signature of his email, his Skype name. Say, this is back in the day. Nobody uses Skype anymore. His Skype username was Trust in Him. Who does that? Who puts that username on Skype? Fast forward, him. Fast forward, get a job in Connecticut. My visa would only be ready to go in April of 2016. So I had 5 months of working from home in Brazil, abroad, online, before you guys all didn't work online from home. I was working from home in Brazil and got my visa to go to the States right after my wedding date, which was like perfect God timing for everything. Then we moved to Connecticut. 1.5 years after being in Connecticut, I found in Connecticut another desert journey of mine. I was never a depressed person at all. And right after getting married, in May of 2016, I faced depression for the very first time in my life. And it was like the toughest season. I couldn't understand why. There was no natural explanation. I had a Joseph moment also working for someone that was really hard to deal with it. But I try not to blame because I know that the people that God usually puts in our lives, it's to train us, to prepare us. But I knew I was about, like I was just been out of a desert season and I was walking into another. And that God had valuable lessons. Just as I landed in Connecticut, a month after, Pastor Sean goes to Brazil, speaking my church in Brazil, speaking at a conference, and he was touched by what God was doing in Brazil. And he told my pastor, when you're ready, when you have someone, give me a call because I need someone to run operations from what you guys carry in Brazil. He thought of another two guys before me. And it's totally fine because it wasn't meant to be. And he also, like, he probably called me on the way, on the time. It was going to be bad timing. Fast forwarding in March of 2017, I came with my wife for the very first time. We were meeting at Aviation. A lot of you remember here. And God, that weekend, I told my wife, we're not talking to each other. We're just hearing from God. Is Canada the next place? Because honestly, Canada was never in our hearts back then. And I said, if this is the place, like we're going to receive, I can guarantee you the moment we step foot in Montreal Airport, God spoke to us there. Like, I didn't even meet Pastor Sean and Pastor Michelle. Like, he said, this is your place. And I asked my wife after, when did God speak to you? She said, Montreal Airport. And this just goes to show that desert place, hard times, seasons that feel endless, depression, any of these things, anxiety in our lives, Let me tell you, he's there. He's in those seasons of your life. He wants to speak with you. He wants to have an encounter with you because he's preparing things in your hearts that you do not know. Man, I'm behind my message. Anyways, I love talking about this story, so I get distracted. But the desert seasons, they're going to teach you some values in life. They're going to learn, and I'm going to get there. They're going to teach you some valuable lessons and not to waste many resources, because how many of you would agree that desert moments are not like, if you find this water, you're paying like, I don't know, and that's the only water you have in the desert, this is going to be the most valuable asset that you're paying in the desert. So in desert seasons, you're not washing your driveways like we see people washing and wasting water. We are valuing what we have. Deuteronomy 8 says, remember how the Lord your God led you through wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you, testing you to what? Prove your character. And to find out whether or not you would obey his commandments. Desert moments will reveal the worst in you, but also the best in you. Just like fasting, and it's unbelievable that Jesus went for 40 days, not only in the desert, but he was fasting. Sometimes we feel irritated. We think that fasting causes irritation. It's actually just revealing the irritation that is inside of you. So those seasons will reveal the depths of your hearts, the roots of your hearts. Number two, desert is a place of restoration. Sometimes in your life, you will face loss. I don't have the time this morning to enter into another journey, but majority of you in this house know that between Ethan, our 5-year-old, and Nico, our 1.5-year-old, we lost our second son on the day that he was supposed to be born. My wife went to get the induction. There wasn't a heartbeat, and we lost him. And it was probably the hardest desert moment in our lives. I cannot even compare those seasons, those days, to any other desert moments that I have. But God has a plan of restoration, even in the midst of your hardest pain, of the pain that you don't feel like you're going to be able to bear. When you feel like cuts, when you feel destroyed, the picture that comes to my mind is when you cut a tree and you see a little sprout coming out. This is the hope of restoration. When everything feels crushed, when you don't have this strength, he's able to restore you. He will use people, he has, no matter the situation. I just want to tell you, I don't know the situation you're going in right now. If you have no hope or you're going through the hardest of your seasons, at least you feel. Like something that my journey with Jonathan taught me is that everybody experiences pain differently. And we need to learn to respect. I needed to learn to respect the way that my wife processed that pain of loss. The way that my parents, her parents, everybody around us dealt with differently. Some were more quiet. Some were just crying. And we need to have the grace. And I love this passage in Psalms 107. It says, he changes rivers into deserts and spring lives into dry, thirsty land. It doesn't start very promising, these verses. But sometimes things are going well, and he knows that we need to go through seasons. But he also said, and then he turns the fruitful land into salty wastelands because of the weakness of those who live there. But he also turns deserts into pools of waters and dry land into springs of water. He brings the hungry to settle there and to build cities. They sow their fields, plant their vineyards, and harvest their bumper crops. How he blesses them. They raise large families there, and their herds of livestock increases. I don't fully understand the why we've been through what we've been through. But I've seen some fruits of hope in this journey. Of course, like a third son is a miracle. Nicholas, on his birth, went through a very close thing. He also had to go into a resurrection room. He almost didn't make it. But God had a restoration story in his life. And we still, let me tell you, we still face some health challenges due to how his birth was. But there is hope. There is hope for restoration. And the one thing that I love is, and how I can compare those seasons, is with something in that people that are from Japan know. John is, if he's here, he knows, probably knows this, and what the Japanese people call the kintsugi. And I think we have a picture for this. This is it. It's hard to see. But kintsugi is a Japanese art that repairs broken pottery with gold, rendering a new piece that is more exquisite than it was before the break. It literally means join with the gold. And listen to this. Rather than trying to hide the damage, kintsugi highlights the repairs. The imperfections are what make it beautiful and valuable. A broken piece that is put back together has more of a story, seems more authentic and real, and is stronger and more resilient than something that has stayed pristine. The breaking of what once was, the layered and time-consuming process of putting it back together, the mending with gold, all contributes to its value. And surprisingly, it becomes more resilient after it has bended by kintsugi, even stronger than it was before. This is expensive, guys. Like, if I couldn't even buy one for this Sunday because it was expensive to bring it. But anyways, this is how Christian life will feel like. And it's described in 2 Corinthians 4:10, 4:7-10. But we have treasures in jars of clay to show what surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying the body, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. Let me tell you, there is no trash can in the potter's house. God doesn't waste anything that happens in your life. He has the power to restore you no matter the way that you show up. God wants to have a working story with you. There's no mess that is too messy that the Messiah cannot come and restore you. So no matter the circumstance that brought you here, or the thing that you're struggling today, or that addiction that you're struggling today, God has a beautiful plan to restore it and to make it better, to make it stronger. God is the restorer, the kintsugi master, who skillfully, tenderly puts the broken pieces in our lives together. It takes time, but I believe this gold resin is like just like reading the Bible and praying and just gathering and just doing the things that we're supposed to do. They make us stronger. And what the devil meant to destroy us is now made us stronger. One thing that I love about this house is that KC was never a surface church. We go deep. And we want to go deep. It's important that you are here. It's important that you are bringing people to experience the depth that Jesus has for your life. He doesn't want to touch your surface level. He wants to go deep with you. And let me tell you, when that does, sometimes in life may feel like you're supposed, like you see all these people, like they're growing their companies, but on you on the other side, like it feels like you're just digging, but you're digging stronger foundations so that he can build something even higher. And one day will come that he will turn those desert moments into springs of fresh water, into springs of life in your life. Amen? One thing that I also learned about the desert is the desert reveals what's truly important. And one of the things that we experienced during the loss of Jonathan is that desert seasons in your life will show your true friends, will show who's around you. Because honestly, times of prosperity will attract many people around you. Times of desert, man, they will really reveal who's with you. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend is always loyal and a brother is born to help in time of need. It's the time of needs that will reveal what truly matters, what truly community you have around you. And one thing that stood out to all my family, every comment that they made after we lost Jonathan, it was like, man, we are thankful for the community and the place God put you guys to be. Because the strength that KC and the people of this house brought to us during the hardest seasons is honestly what allows us to be here today. Because some days you just don't have the strength. You just don't have it in you. And having a community, man, we'll take you and we'll let you go. I also want to highlight something, man, but there's a lot. I'm not going to lie. I'm not doing part two next week because we have a powerful weekend. Yeah, I'm sure. I don't want to get, because next weekend, don't miss. And I want to encourage you. So you see empty seats? I want to see the house packed. Do you know that last Sunday was our highest attendance of the year? Just goes to show when we mobilize, when we seek community, when we invite friends, there is power with that. And I loved worshiping with a full house. I love opening those. Man, Matt would love to not have to set up those pipe and drape every Sunday, right?
Absolutely.
One thing that many times in our lives, we think that we need things, right? Sometimes we don't, and desert seasons will allow us to really understand what we truly need. Peter and John, and I won't read the passage for time's sake, they, right after they received from Holy Spirit, they found that beggar in front of something that is called the beautiful gate. The context for this is Acts 4:1-9. And the guy was asking for money. And he said, Peter and John turned to him and said, money, silver, and gold I don't have, but here's what I have, and I'll give it to you. In the power of Jesus, be restored, be healed. And the guy has a transformation experience. Many times the world thinks they need something. Even us in our own journeys, we think that we need something. And something that God was speaking to me about this passage this week is that many times we need to watch so our gospel and our walk and our approach to his kingdom is not like a beggar. You know, I'll come to the Sunday and I'll grab my little portion. I'll give like my 25 cents. I'll come another week, I'll get another $2. I want to come another week and grab a little bit more. In the kingdom, there's no beggar, and it's not sustainable, a beggar mentality. God wants to revolutionize the same way that he did with this man. And what happened? He jumped, he stood on verse 8 in his feet and began to walk. Then walking, leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. And all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the same beggar they had seen often at the beautiful gates, they were absolutely astounded. Our walk with God is created so that people will be impressed by the transformation that Jesus will cause in our lives. And we just don't need to come here on a Sunday just for a little bit more of Jesus. He wants to give himself to you fully. Our lives, like Matthew 28:20, all the days of my life, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus that we need. And I love this because, you know, it talks about the situation and the place that they were in. It says the beautiful gates. Another translation for this is the right time gates, is the Kairos gate. So it's the moments of God, and it's the moments of encounter that he has for us in our life to cause freedom. And I believe today and every week we give an opportunity here to what? So that people can experience this Jesus. We open, when we ask, like, come to the front, ministry team will pray for you, is in hope that people, this is part of the vision of this church, helping everyone everywhere experience the love of God, experience God in their lives. Amen? Man. Okay, number 4. Desert generates gratitude. And next week is Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for that. And let me tell you, when I was in the United States, I took my 4 years at Liberty University in Virginia. It became my favorite holiday, just not because it was like a free week of university, but I just loved. I had many encounters during those 4 years that happened during those weeks. We would easily go to a conference. We often, I think out of those 4 years, 3 of them, we drove to New York City to a house of prayer that our church in Brazil had it there, and we had amazing experiences with God. I want to encourage you, don't miss Thanksgiving Sunday next week, but because I truly know, like Sarah was saying here before, gratitude opens doors and unlocks doors for freedom in your life, for encounters in your life, when you position your hearts in the midst of gratitude. And I know also that moments of lack in our lives make us grateful when we achieve certain things. Once when I was like 14 years old, we had a retreat that we simulated the end times, and we camped for 3 days. We found this farm in Brazil. Someone from the church, he said, I'll give you access to the fields, no houses. We're going to bring tents. We brought some army tents. We had to dig for our own restroom. We make like this big hole. It wasn't a pretty retreat. 3 days. Intense. Like next level. But let me say, day two, I was like, man, I can't wait to be back to the throne room in my bathroom, in my washroom, in my house. Seasons of lack make you realize the true things that are really important in your life. Makes you value that good shower that some of you need to take more often here in Canada. But anyways, be grateful. In the midst of lack, you really find gratitude. You really find to value what God has for your life. And if there was one trip in my life that rocked my world into what really matters in our life, was in 2011. We took a group of people, 20 of us from Brazil. We went 3 months after the tsunami hit to do a conference around like Japanese churches, but the main goal was to bring water to a city called Ishinomaki. This was the third, the one of the three top three cities that had the worst impact during the tsunami. I think 6 months, actually, because it was March, so we went there in September. 6 months later, the city was pretty much destroyed. No electricity. The remainder survivors of that city had to drive 45 minutes to go get water, heat it in their ovens, boil it, put it into their fridges, let it cold so that they can drink water. Because of all the radiation effects, they didn't know. So the government, this was the instructions. And that trip, God spoke to me about the power of really what matters in eternity. I have a first slide. We can put it up here. I'll just quickly show you guys this. So this was a factor, and this is just to show. This is about like more than 10 kilometers away from where the sea was. And the water reached 42 feet high on this factory. This is how much it destroyed. This was a school of 800 kids, and only 5 survived. And this were what neighborhoods looked like. Most houses destroyed, and the houses that remained standing had only the second floor, but even the second floor was a mess. Like, I never cried so much in my life in a few days than I cried those days. Sometimes we complain so much of the things that we don't have. That is in the simple things that we learn to value. The value of really what will stay eternity. Things are temporal. Like, the next slide goes to show, we would see piles. This is like higher than this building. Of trash, just like this. I would see piles of like 11 cars on top of each other. You would see like boats from the sea in the midst of a city, random like corner. But do you know what impacted me the most? Is that when we brought water to these people, we didn't hear nobody complain. And what people often said, it was, look how beautiful. New life, new flowers. Even in the midst of destruction, they were seeing there's something good. And I learned that the power that water had to open hearts of people, we would get, honestly, we went to many, we pray, we saw people getting healed, older ladies. We would walk into houses with, like, man, so much. We filled 2 vans with waters. And people were saying, hey, can we hang out with you? They were bringing whatever food they have. Like, we just want to sit with you. We lost our friends. And we're thankful that you're here. And you would see how the most simple thing in the world water would open door for the hearts of the people to find community, to find the love of Jesus, to find restoration. But what I admire the most, and I think that when Japan really experienced revival, they are going to be the best Christians ever, because they're not complaining, man. They are thankful for what they have. And this is just, it's a little bit on, we learn the value of eternity. Sometimes everything that we accumulate in life, all your riches, if you just invest anywhere, this is what it's going to become one day. But what you put in the kingdom of God, those lives, they will become, they are worth it. Everyone in this room, Holy Spirit wants to have an encounter with you. I want to finish by saying that desert is a place of miracles. And this is what I learned the most. And miracles are heaven's response to an earthly crisis. So you cannot experience miracles if you're not going through hard seasons. There's no point, right? And I believe this is what God has for us. He wants to walk into Jesus. That's what Jesus said. I want you to walk in greater works that I did. I want you to walk in miracles. And if I am taking you through a desert season, is that I got a plan for you. The season will prepare you, but I've got you. I have everything that you need. Provision will come in the hardest times. And I mean, you're going to continue. Like probably this week you faced hard seasons. 3 weeks ago, I shared from this stage our recent testimony from Brazil. We went to Brazil. I won't share it again, like fully here, but basically our son had to go through surgery in the private care system, and we didn't have the resources. I tried doing things my way. I felt Holy Spirit said I could raise somebody, and we needed about 30,000 BIs, which is a little over 6,000 Canadian dollars. And in one day, God raised someone to find a connection with my mom. And she said, I have 30,000 reais here for you. And we saw provision in the midst of a hard situation. We were going to have to pull money from all sides. We're going to be in a hard place financially. And we saw the provision, because desert is a place for the miracles of God to manifest in our lives. Isaiah, the worship team can come up here. Isaiah 43:18-19 says, but forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. This is a promise of God for your life, and it's true today. He will make a path. Whatever situation you're going through, He will create rivers where there is no water, where there's no hope, where there's nothing you can do in a situation escapes your control. But let me tell you, you're going to be tempted in the moment. Just like I started by saying the temptation of Jesus. What did the devil said to him first? Hey, turn the stones into bread. And Jesus said, no, men shall not live by bread alone, but from what? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every desert season has a word of God from you. That's it. He wants to upgrade you into the next season. So that He can give you another word. And another word. And another word. Another thing that I love about this temptation is the devil was more than the bread. He was saying, bread, what happens? A few days, you buy bread. Even nowadays, that's even worse. A few days in, it's bad. Stones are eternal. So the devil was saying, trade what is eternal, a stone, for what's temporary. And I want to encourage you to seek and value what's eternal in your life. Desert moments will show you the value of eternal things. I want us all to stand here. And I'm going to invite the ministry team. We can worship some more. I don't know how I finished, but God knew. And I'm glad, but it's not finished, let me tell you. I believe this is your moment, because this is your response. If the ministry team can walk here, I want to invite anybody that is going through a hard season, that you need prayer, that you need community, that you have a situation that is above your control. And something that Holy Spirit also told me is that the same way that last week was a healing Sunday, I believe there's a door for today to be a provision Sunday in your life. So if you are in need of a financial miracle in your life, I want to encourage you also come at front. We want to pray for you. We want to release something from the kingdom of heaven. I believe that miracles will, like money can appear in your bank.